If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. Time for What's Toxic and What's Not every week at this time from Dr. Gary Ginsberg, our toxicologist. Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs.com. We have a list of stories to get through, and Dr. Mike, you pick the first story to talk about, and it has to do with fracking. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. So, Gary, what's the story on fracking, and is it safe to live near where they're fracking?
Well, some of my colleagues said, little to my knowledge, they went out to Pennsylvania to some fracking communities, and they studied about 500 people that live various distances from fracking well sites, these industrialized sites, and they did health surveys of these people. And they found that those people living within a kilometer, about half a mile of the fracking site, had significantly more skin and respiratory health issues, health conditions. These are self-reported. They are not necessarily doctor diagnosed, but they reported significantly more skin and health and respiratory problems, breathing problems, than people that lived more than 2 kilometers away. Now, whether this is caused by their groundwater being contaminated, or their air being contaminated, or just because they're nervous about living near fracked wells is unclear, but it certainly does represent some kind of a signal that living near fracking sites is disruptive to your health. For whatever one of those three reasons, certainly it does mean more investigation is going to be needed. And certainly an industry that does involve this much chemicals, this much drilling into the Earth's crust, does require a lot of testing as well as a lot of careful thought on how to do it properly and making sure that the neighbors of these fracking, because some frack sites are right in communities, others are out in the middle of wetlands. So you want to make sure that it's being done right. And there are enough warning signs to suggest that it probably could be done better than it's being done right now. And that this Yale study is just one signpost along the road. So more to come. The answer to your question, Mike, is we don't know. As a toxicologist, we hate to see runaway technology in which certain people are the guinea pigs to the runaway technology because it hasn't been fully tested and yet being used widespread. So, the technology is a little bit ahead of the health science on this.
Well, so let's go to another subject. I suppose there are two questions here that I should answer. One is from our email line, which said, I live in a fracking area that is western Pennsylvania, and apparently there's fracking there. She said, what should I be doing differently?
Well, number one, and whoever that person is, if you're on a private well, you want to make sure you are testing your well water for a range of contaminants. Some of them are the hydrocarbons that are used commonly at fracking sites. You want to make sure your well is not affected. And number two, you want to talk to the local health authorities, see if other people in town have contaminated wells or having health issues. You want to be ahead of the curve and find out where else they may be planning to do fracking and make sure that those are being fully disclosed environmental impact statements are being done so that you and your town know and are ahead of the curve.
Okay, let's go to another subject, which is the second one I like. EPA warns of toxic strippers, and of course you're not talking about ballroom strippers.
Hardly at all. No, this is something that most people probably aren't going to do themselves, but some might. This is furniture strippers. There have been a couple of lethalities, actually people dying from these products, and that was in bathtub stripping, where you were trying to get rid of the old finish on a bathtub, and using this very toxic chemical stripping agent called methylene chloride, or it may also be called dichloromethane, DCM, which is a potent neurotoxin, but also is a carcinogen. And so EPA did a detailed risk assessment on it, and they just released it, saying, you know what, the risks are too high with this chemical. People might actually die from it, or if not acutely overcome and they work with it chronically, may develop an elevated cancer risk from it. And if you're just using a one-off time, you know, in your house, you want to strip some furniture or strip some paint off of some molding, even that may be too risky to handle. There is an alternative chemical called NMP or N-methylpyrrolidine. The risk assessment on that, to tell you the truth, doesn't look all that rosy. EPA hasn't released it yet, but I have a feeling they're going to be trying to come up with even safer alternatives than what's out there on the market to replace DCM. The bottom line is, if you are going to do your own furniture stripping project, a couple of rules of thumb. Number one, do it in warm weather, summertime. Do it outside or in a garage or in a breezeway where you have tons of good ventilation. And three, wear gloves and don't be neat with it. Don't slop it all over the place, because these chemicals will go right through the skin. You don't want to contaminate your clothing with it. And dichloromethane, you should be aware, is a carcinogen. You certainly don't want to spill it on the ground. If it gets into your groundwater, well, then your well may be non-potable for some period of time.
Employees in these furniture factories, do they sign waivers signing off any risks that might be involved?
I don't know. They may do that with these workers. I have a feeling the workers don't really know what's in the fine print. If they do sign, I don't think they're that well educated. Ideally, they will have an MSDS, a material safety data sheet, to look at, and the word cancer or carcinogen may show up on that. But you don't really know when you're handling these things how high the exposure levels are. Nobody's standing there with a monitor saying, "Well, you're over the red zone. Time to go take a walk outside." So, even if they did sign a waiver, doesn't mean they're fully aware of just how risky it is.
What else did you have, Dr. Mike, for Gary?
Now, what happens when a perfume factory goes ablaze? Does the whole town smell good?
You might think that there's some winners in this, even though the factory is the big loser. But no, 400 people had to be evacuated because, get this, as there were 1,000 barrels of perfumes in this factory, that for some other reason there was a fire that broke out, and as these barrels one by one caught fire, the perfume exploded, and there were actually fireballs that were sent up into the night sky and out the doors, and it was very difficult to fight this fire as these barrels of perfume caught fire and exploded into fireballs. Now, a couple of things. The local community of 400 people had to be evacuated. Very difficult to fight this intense fire, so dangerous for the firemen. And then, on the backside of it, as they put out the fire and they washed it down, they hosed down the whole place with a lot of water needed to put out the fire and clean up the mess, the runoff was actually colored perfumes that ran into a local stream and then into Bridgeport Harbor, and it shut down all the fishing nearby and shut down the nearby beaches. We're past Labor Day, so people aren't using the Long Island Sound very much, but shut down all swimming, all fishing, because of the dyes and the perfumes that were going there into the local waterways. So, this had a big ripple effect. And people now are back in their homes. We don't know of anyone who's actually gone to the emergency room. I think people got out in time where the wind was blowing the right direction. But it is, anytime you're near an industrial fire, you certainly want to pay attention to the evacuation signs and get out of Dodge.
All right, that's Dr. Gary Ginsberg. What's toxic, what's not? Lean on his book, whatstoxic.com. Coming up, more of the top medical news stories of the week, and we'll wrap the hour up with another Real Age tip. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening.